Okay, so hi everybody, and welcome back to another series of podcasts from Smart Freight. As always, I'm your host, Tash Jones. Our podcasts, of course, are available to be streamed online on Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcasts. It's fair to say the world's changed a little bit since we last did a recording back in December, and I, for one, have definitely got a spring in my step knowing that the UK is coming out of lockdown in the next couple of months, and I hope my guest today does as well. This second season of podcasts from Smart Freight is going to be looking into various subjects. Today we'll be talking about cloud ERP, and over the next few episodes we'll be delving into the world of sustainable practices in retail, everything from outbound logistics to returns. I can't wait to share these sessions with you all. Let's get started. So Smart Freight partnered up with today's guest 2 months ago, and here to discuss the reasons why is Andy Mallett, the Solutions Director at the 848 Group. Hi Andy, and welcome to today's episode.
Hi Natasha, it's really great to be here.
It's brilliant to have you. So Andy, I mean, we've all had to work in completely different ways during the last 12 months. I know I'm sick of working from home. Not sure about yourself. How are you finding it?
It's been interesting. I mean, we're as a cloud-first company, we're kind of used to working from home. So I suppose the kind of comedy stories that most people would have about people turning up naked on calls doesn't kind of happen to us. But interestingly enough, we have kind of noticed missing people, that face-to-face, because we used to pop into the office every now and again. We had projects that we were working on together. So we introduced coffee meetings is what we did. Yeah. And then people turning up in sort of like fancy dress. So at Christmas, we had Christmas T-shirts, and Dominic, who's kind of like the most extrovert one out of all of us, was rocked up in some pretty weird and wonderful snowman outfits. We're kind of getting there, I suppose, but like you, fantastic. I'm really looking forward to being out and about.
Yeah, it gets back in there doing those face-to-face meetings again, I say.
Indeed.
So, Andy, is there anything in particular you miss from working in the office at all? Or
it's that kind of interaction, I suppose. Most of my staff will say Andy misses his whiteboard. Yeah, the online one in meetings is not quite as nice as the ones that I can do in the room with captive audience that I won't let out the door until I've drawn my design and told them how I want it to work. It's that kind of, there's something about the use of body language and people being in the same room and that kind of war room approach that gets things done in a different way. And we've got better at it, yeah, but it's still not quite the same, and I would quite like to get back to that human touch approach to coming up with.
Definitely, it's so much easier to collaborate.
Indeed. Yeah.
Sorry for interrupting you there, Andy. I was just going to say, you know, it's so much easier to collaborate when you're actually in a room with a bunch of people. I think technology is amazing, and we've been so lucky to have the technology in place that we have to allow us to kind of replicate that sort of sitting in a boardroom experience. But yeah, I think I'm looking forward to getting back and collaborating, definitely.
I agree, yeah. Bring it on as quick as possible.
Awesome. Yeah. Just put me to sleep and wake me up when it's over. Cool. Okay. So, Andy, you guys at 848, you know, you're a gold Microsoft partner, and you've been supporting your clients' core business systems. And I'm guessing it's probably exposed you to some pretty interesting projects. I know e-commerce integration has been quite a big ticket thing in the industry for the past 10 years. Are you sort of finding yourself becoming more involved in that type of technology now?
Yes, I mean, it's got two sides to that question, really. So in terms of, yeah, we're a Microsoft Gold partner, and we've spent, you know, we've done an awful lot of work and effort to get to being a Gold partner. Obviously, it doesn't come that easily. You need to sell a lot for starters. But in fact, we've probably done an awful lot more than most people would understand that we've done, because during our history we developed relationships with some big SIs like Ricoh and Deloitte, and a fair bit of our big ticket items have been done on behalf of them. So a little bit like the suppliers behind Jaguar Land Rover, for example, they do great work, but we're not maybe that well known for it. One of the examples was a public sector deployment we did just recently. But in terms of the e-commerce space, it's, to be honest, we come from a professional services background. It's something we saw infrequently for some time. And the kind of like selling organizations were traditionally face-to-face professional services sales, where essentially it was a human being talking to another human being and agreeing the complexity of that. But just recently, we've seen, you know, obviously the pandemic's helped. That kind of setting where you're going and visiting people has become less available. So that's kind of driven that need to go to e-commerce. It was also accelerated in the last couple of years by the move from Microsoft to push their ERP platforms up into the cloud. So the likes of AX and Nav arriving in the cloud as Business Central and Finance. And then putting e-commerce platforms on the front of the big enterprise scale one. But they've the smaller SMB one didn't come with an e-commerce platform attached to it. And hence we the relationship that we're building that between the three of us, actually, if that's Smart4Eight, ourselves and Sana, to kind of build a really holistic approach to how you might want to do last mile logistics and sell your products. Is pushing us down that road, and we've seen a definite uplift in people wanting to adopt e-commerce. I mean, it's just everybody out there is buying from home because they can't do anything else. You know, you need a way to buy stuff, and if they need to buy from home, you need a way to sell it. So a nicely joined up e-commerce platform is absolutely key to that. And as Satya Nadella commented, the pandemic has accelerated, I think he said, accelerated digital transformation by 10 years, although I've seen the number of years that are attributed to what he said change each week. Then in terms of where do we think we're going with it, one of the bits that interests me most about e-commerce is how e-commerce can embrace very complex situations. So I think if you go back a few years and said, that you would buy a car online, yep, everyone would describe that as nuts because of the complexity of all the different things. So if you click this and say that I want this type of headlight, yep, all of a sudden you have to change the steering wheel and the back door because it doesn't match with it. And e-commerce systems just weren't capable of doing that. They sold cans of baked beans. But nowadays, that configure price quote is available in e-commerce platforms. And I'd really like to see that push into the professional services model. You know, just imagine buying a delivery of our accelerator, for example, where you could pick all the different options that you wanted from Smart4Eight, Sana e-commerce, your Business Central, your Microsoft 365. You just select it all off the screen, and the next thing you know, it turns up in your environment. Would be fantastic. And then, again, that last mile logistics bit, I think is really, it's kind of reverse driving our desire to get into e-commerce. We've got more people that have got that issue just because they sell products and they need to shift them, and they need to shift them quickly. I mean, as a business area to get involved in, it's quite complex because, I don't know, but you're probably the same as me. When I click on in an Amazon and I want to buy something, essentially, I'd see no reason why it should cost me more than about 3p to get it shifted, and I kind of want it to turn up tomorrow. In order to do that, the only way you can possibly support that kind of cost is through technology, because if it's human powered, it's going to cost more than that. And to get that competition into the marketplace, you really need access to a wide variety of carriers. And not wishing to blow your horn too loudly, but if you want access to a wide variety of carriers, probably the simplest way to do it is to go and get Smart4Eight, because they give you access to hundreds of them. So yeah, broadly we see e-commerce is a key driver for us with that last mile logistics in the coming years.
Well, that's really great. Thanks for the Smart4Eight plug there, Andy. I totally agree with a lot of the points you were making there, like the need to buy stuff. I'm like the prime candidate for needing to buy stuff, not because I need stuff, but because I need to buy stuff. I literally have ordered some weird and wonderful things online over the course of the last 12 months. I always call them my presents in the post to myself. And I think there's lots of girls out there, like, you know, and boys out there like me who love to shop and love to have new things. And I think just because the shop, the high street's shut, it's not going to stop us. So yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think there's a definite need to buy, consumer kind of mentality there. And yes, you're right. You don't want to pay through the nose to have it delivered. Absolutely not. You want it free, really, ideally.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, that never is truly free because it always kind of gets wrapped in the product price. But it's about how you want that presented to you. It's about your experience, what you want from it, really.
Absolutely, absolutely. And actually, you know, there are definitely times where myself, from with my consumer hat on, you know, I'm happy to pay that a bit extra to get it the next day, for instance. So it's also having the services on offer that consumers want to see. Cool. I mean, Andy sort of talks about your relationship with Microsoft there, and you know, about a little bit about the journey, the products that have gone on. So I'm going to delve into that a little bit more. I mean, Microsoft have obviously released a suite of fantastic products in recent years. You know, looking at say 365, Dynamics 365, and of course we cannot forget Microsoft Teams. I'm pretty, you know, got most businesses through 2020 and the start of 2021, right? It'd be really great to hear about 8x8's journey with the suite of products itself and your mission to your clients as you move forward into the rest of the year.
Yeah, cool. So, I mean, bizarrely enough, actually, 8x8 started out as a G Suite provider, and we still do Google. Quite, you know, disruptive model, really. To Google was kind of disrupting the market. The move to cloud was pretty young. Cloud productivity applications were pretty naive in their production. But we saw Office 365 coming up fast on the outside, and we kind of liked the way Microsoft were going about it. So they weren't trying to reinvent the wheel. They understood they had a lot of good IP and a lot of good technology in that space, and they were trying to leverage it but move it to the cloud. And in those early days, it was interesting. It was pretty much on-premises or on-desktop technology that had been slightly bent to put it into the cloud. And I think everyone that looked back sort of 15 years now would just go, oh, they were clunky experiences. If you look at the way Skype was back in those days in comparison to what you get with Teams, it's just a sea change in that. Ability to collaborate and the way that it does cloud. So I mean, back in the day, certainly before I started running biz apps at 848, I come from a kind of mainframe software development background. We essentially wrote everything yourself, you know, from the ground up, and then you built it from the ground up, every single component of it, put it together and called it a car, and there you go. There's your car. And what cloud has really changed about that and what Microsoft have embraced is that kind of componentization of technology, that you can pick and match the greatest things and join them together in the cloud, orchestrate those things. So, you know, if you don't like Teams, can you use Slack? Well, absolutely, yeah, because they're all in the cloud. So you can still get access to them. And is it possible to put a common authentication method across those so you can sign on? The majority of modern cloud technology allows you to do that. And Microsoft embraced that model. I think if you see Teams, if you click on apps, for example, you'll see that you can add apps that are Microsoft apps. But similarly, there's loads in there from loads of other providers. And we saw that as quite compelling. The Office 365 platform itself has just accelerated, and to be honest, it's quite difficult to keep up with it at times. It's just changing so much and so frequently. A big focus, I would say, in their perspective on security of information and understanding information. And we've invested quite heavily in that at 848. So we've our modern desktop team are not just there to put desktops in, they're out there to understand how to make sure that what's on your desktop doesn't end up on somebody else's desktop that's got nothing to do with your organization, which pleases most of the information governance teams, because information governance is probably at the heart of most enterprise scale organizations, and we're kind of seeing it arrive in the SMB market with the GDPR rules, and that we've adopted them. The cost of getting it wrong is extraordinary. You know, 10 times revenue fines, it's a showstopper. It's an out of business event for a lot of organizations. So that kind of led us actually to wanting to address the full journey for our client. When we looked at how partners, whether it be Microsoft partners, Google partners, AWS partners, deliver technology, they kind of delivered it from this perspective that they had a piece of technology, they'd build it, and then it would just be kind of your responsibility to figure out where it fits in your world. And we didn't quite like the way that worked. We wanted to be more involved in the customer's journey and not just the final destination. So that's where we came up with not the most inspiring methodology name, but Plan, Build and Run. You'd have seen McKinsey have used it. I mean, most of the consulting companies operate in that model, but they come up with bigger marketing budgets so they can come up with flasher words for Plan, Build and Run. But our vision is that we're with you all the way, so we can help you understand how you would use technology in your workspace to answer the various problems before we get around to building it. And then when we do build it, we're building it with the fact that it should be supportable and improvable going forward. We've invested quite a bit in that, and then working out how that works in a cloud model, because there's some interesting facts around, you know, when you look at servicing technology, for example, what does it actually mean if you've got SaaS products? You know, because they should be looking after the infrastructure for you and the storage. And I think in the early days, there was this kind of perception that you just handed it over directly to the SaaS provider and all would go well. And then as we've matured, it's kind of like, yeah, they're doing a fair bit for you, but you've still got responsibilities. It's your application, yeah, running your data and controlling your business. You need some way of looking after that. And then also, as we moved on, we started off in the modern desktop, modern workplace, and the platform, so VMs, networks, backups and storage. But it was becoming clear that because most organizations want that kind of holistic approach, they wanted to keep on shopping around for different partners, that we needed to broaden our wings. And that's where we ended up with our final kind of structure when you look at us. So we have a modern workplace offering that does all the things around Microsoft 365. We have our business applications offering, which is broadly based on Dynamics 365, although we have augmented that with other bits where Dynamics 365 is kind of short of a few bits. So e-commerce platforms for Business Central, Gonsana, yeah, last mile logistics, carrier management, smart freight, call centers, we've got Anywhere 365. We've got all sorts of bits that we've bought together. With the mission there was not to just be a magpie collecting anything that happened to come across. Yeah, but to cherry pick what we thought were the best things, and that made a portfolio that made sense to our customers. It answered their problems, not just a whole suite of problems. And then we've got the cloud and hybrid platform, which is there to make sure that all these things that you've built carry on running, are resilient, you can back them up. Yep, they're secure. Wrap all that a lot up, and then we've got a managed service that allows you to keep those products going, or you can transform them, in fact. And we've got a process where we'll work with you on a regular basis to make sure that as your business changes, the products adapt to your new world. So broadly, that's kind of mirrored Microsoft's approach. Yeah. They want to be the answer for your business. Yeah. They want you to adopt a Microsoft first strategy, and broadly you can. Yeah. Are they the best in every single criteria? No. And that's why we built product portfolios to fill the gaps.
Cool, that's really interesting. I love how you mentioned you work with businesses who you support their systems to help them get the best out of their systems. I know I've worked in a few companies where you might have a particular CRM platform or a project management platform, for instance, and like it's just sat there and nobody knows how to make it work properly and it's not being used in the correct way. So you kind of start to question, is there any value in this solution? I think having a support partner that's able to actually really work with you to get the best out of the system, I think it's amazing. I think we could probably do some of that here.
Yeah.
It's really awesome.
It's really key to our ethos and where we're moving towards. I mean, we're aware that we're moving probably, I mean, our strap line's business changing IT. We probably in the first 8 years, we were probably more the IT side than the business change side. But now we're kind of drawing the two together. We do rely on partners to help us do enterprise scale business change, but we are really keen that people get the most value out of what we do for them at every single stage. I mean, I like to plan with our customers to make sure that we build enough, but not too much. It's really easy when you're in, it's like you're buying a new car. Yeah. It looks like it was going to cost 30,000, but by the time you've left, you've put 21-inch rims. It's got three different satellites. Yeah. You've had all the little bling lights put on. Suddenly it's £60,000. Yeah. I see my job as kind of like, I want to sell it to you all, but I want you to get the right value, not just because it's going to make me money. It's the same in support as well and that adoption bit.
So. It's customer.
Yeah.
Definitely, I think it's a customer first like mentality. I know I certainly have that mentality. I want whoever I'm working with, whether it be a partner or a customer, to actually finish with a solution that is going to solve their problem, but not talking to them about solutions that are just nice to have that they don't actually need. I like to try, to put that client's needs and wants first, definitely. And I think you guys definitely sound as though you're working in that way. And I think it's quite refreshing, actually, from the industry to hear that for sure.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, it is, like I say, it is a key driver for our organisation.
It's awesome. Okay, so I guess like my last point, you've already obviously mentioned SmartFreight a few times now. Thank you very much. But of course, carrier integration, order fulfillment, and shipping can be a massive challenge for businesses. Definitely, within the times we're in at the moment, where we're dealing with things like Brexit as well, on top of COVID. Why have A4H chosen to partner with SmartFreight as your carrier management platform of choice? Not that I need to ask, but please tell us.
Yeah, the people that are watching or listening. I mean, it breaks into two bits, really. There's the people and the culture and the product, and both are compelling from our perspective. I mean, we first met SmartFreight at a business event. I think it was in Wolverhampton, actually. The conversation was open and transparent and it was easygoing and there was no tension there. And that's quite important for me that we're not, business shouldn't have to be formal. We should be able to be relaxed about what we're doing because people, when they're relaxed, get the best out of each other. So that really worked well for me. And then just
business doing it. Should be fun.
Yeah. And then during the discussion, it was clear that there was some synergies between the kind of people that the verticals and the horizontals that you get involved in and what we were planning to do in terms of moving down the ERP route more strongly. Our sales and customer service background clearly kind of points into that last mile logistics and order fulfillment bit. So that led us to pursue that. And then there was a bit of a break actually in between that first meeting and when we finally got back together a couple of months ago. Not least of which was COVID putting the downers on a whole year of life, which seems to have just gone past in a flash, to be fair. And then since then, the my first impression has not been dulled as an organisation that is honest and transparent and easy to get along with. Smart Freight is that. Yep, it's been very easy to build a relationship, whether that be the kind of personal relationship where we find it easy to get along a chat like this. Yep, or the contractual relationship, which has been robust, but not, you know, hasn't cost me a fortune in getting lawyers involved and 8,000 different contracts to sign. It's a pragmatic approach to let's get together and do some good business, which has always been key for me. Then when it came to the product, we were kind of hunting around for how to get that. So carrier management in Business Central, not wanting to do Microsoft down too much. It does the job. As an SMB product, if you're only doing a little bit of, if you've got one or two carriers and you're happy doing that, then it will easily do it. Yeah. But if your needs are slightly more complex than that, if you wanted to manage, say, 5, 6, 7, or 8 carriers, I mean, you could key all that in and manage all that relationship, yeah, agree the relationships with each and every one yourself. But why? Yeah, I mean, it's just a massive expense that you can do without. So we were looking for a way to solve that problem. And Smart Freight was the solution there. Yep, a one-stop, integrate once with Dynamics. Yep, lights up a world of carriers geographically related to. So, you know, you get access to local carriers, you get access to global carriers, you get automated manifests. Yep, your ERP system will know what your carriers are doing. You get the single point of tracking. Yep, is probably quite a key point for a lot of customers. It's like I get really fed up when I have to go to DPD because I bought through DPD to get the tracking on that one. Then I have to go to UPS to do it on that one. And then the little local carrier hasn't got any tracking at all, or if they have, it's quite difficult to get at. And Smart Freight kind of just make all that go away. Yeah, with your centralized tracking bit where we can just go and have a look and it shows us what's going on. So then there's the fact that you live in the cloud, you've embraced the cloud, your product's now in the cloud, and you've got a web service. Yeah, that's the bottom line for me. I cannot orchestrate something if it hasn't got a web service, and you did, and you're embracing the cloud, and you're embracing the idea that other people joining with you create a product that is greater than the sum of its parts. And I think that's probably our intent as a group of organizations, is to bring something to our customers that if they try to build it themselves or just buy it componentized, yep, they probably wouldn't get what we can give them.
Brilliant. Well, there's lots of lovely reasons why you decided to partner with us. And I'm one from Smart Freight. I'm very glad that we have joined forces, and I cannot wait to see what the future potentially has to hold. And yeah, Andy, it's been really lovely to have you on today's episode. Thank you so much for your time. And
thanks, Natasha. It's been a joy to join you.
No problems at all. So thank you to all the listeners for joining today's episode. I hope you've enjoyed it. Keep an eye out for next week's episode, which is going to be focusing on Urbit and talking about sustainable shipping and how sustainable are we really. Until then, goodbye, good night, and see you later.